Track 2, News. Hello and welcome to Black Country Talking News. It's Wednesday, the 21st of November 2018, and today in the studio we have Martin and John as the sound engineers, myself, Jill, Margaret and Brian. Now Brian will start us off with the news.
A new initiative which aims to support creative enterprises and further social causes in Stourbridge will take a step forward with the launch of a new pop-up shop. Eddie Morton, owner of Katie Fitzgerald's, and Anthony Hughes, creative and cultural heritage consultant, who both live in Stourbridge, are directors of the Community Interest Company. And they are behind the initiative which they hope will establish the right conditions for future creatives to settle in Stourbridge to make a creative cluster. On Saturday, November the 24th, they launched a new Made in Stourbridge pop-up shop, which will be open in the Rye Market throughout the Christmas period until early in the new year. The shop will provide a platform for artists working in applied and fine art, ceramics and metalwork, as well as for musicians, authors and sculptors. The public-facing space will give them a chance to display and sell their work, as well as providing a platform for other creatives to visit and engage with the network and get involved in future initiatives. Eddie said, "We're building a hub for the town's creatives who are all out there designing and producing amazing work. Often they have to work away from Stourbridge and take their skills and creativity out of the town. We want to create the right conditions for them to flourish here in Stourbridge, create a sense of pride and a strong, vibrant creative economy through supportive residents who can come in, look around, and will be able to buy pieces." Anthony Hughes is committed to building on the town's heritage and identity, and he said, "Stourbridge has always been at the centre of collaboration between the artisan industry. Its world-class industrial heritage was founded on the historical intersection between those creative practices and manufacturing, which saw the town grow, whether that be glass, metalworking, artist creators, writers or musicians, and this is still something that's true of Stourbridge today. There are challenges, and many creative practitioners have taken their skills out of the town or need to commute for work. However, over the years, a lack of investment and opportunities for creative industries and the failing economy has hit Stourbridge hard. This is phase one of many programmes aimed at investment through creative industries as a catalyst for economic regeneration for Stourbridge and its world-class reputation." To find out more about Made in Stourbridge, people can email info@stourbridgecommunitydevelopmenttrust.co.uk, and I should point out that Stourbridge Community Development Trust is all one word with no gaps between. Or they can pop into the shop or search Made in Stourbridge on Facebook.
An eyesore office block in the Black Country could finally be demolished by early 2019. Council bosses have revealed. Developers and Dudley Council want to bring down the abandoned Cavendish House ahead of a multi-million regeneration of the town. Now planning bosses, Councillor Kieran Casey, hopes work can start on the Dudley building in the new year. It would pave the way for a new retail, residential and leisure development in the heart of Dudley. It would also allow ambitious plans to progress on a new bus station and bring the West Midlands Metro through Dudley. Councillor Casey said, "This project would help thrust Dudley into the 21st century and modernise the town centre. This is one of the key regeneration projects for Dudley, linking it with the Metro and the new bus interchange. So I'm very keen to ensure that this is moved forward as quickly as possible, so that local people can see the positive things moving forward and making a big difference to our town. The demolition work will cost £600,000 and the building will be taken down by the building's owner, Avonbury, and they have applied to the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership for the funding, and a planning application to demolish Cavendish House, based in Trindle Road, is also already in the hands of the council. Proposals to build a mixture of leisure, residential and retail properties have also been outlined. The project promises to bring in more shoppers and tourists to Dudley."
The National Trust says chopping down 25% of the trees in selected wooded areas at Kinver Edge will improve conditions for the woodland and wildlife for years to come. The Trust has announced it will be thinning the woodland of Redcliffe Covert to the north of Compton Road and Gorse Covert to the west of Kingsford Lane to help trees grow stronger and allow wildlife to thrive. Trust bosses say these areas are currently very densely packed with trees and they are struggling for light and space, and that by thinning the trees out this winter with a mix of heavy machinery and volunteers, those that are left will have space to grow wider and stronger, and new young saplings planted will be able to thrive. Ranger Ewan Chapman said, "We'll be using a harvester to cut in total around 25% of the trees. Then a forwarder will take the logs away, with some timber being left as deadwood habitat for the benefit of insects and fungi. It will be loud and look a bit messy for a couple of months, with a few paths being temporarily closed. However, in the long term it will be lighter, there will be more wildlife, and it will improve the longevity and health of these woodlands for future generations to explore and enjoy. Thinning the trees will create pockets of light, which is also expected to benefit animals and plants, providing a boost for creatures such as butterflies like the White Admiral, the woodcock bird and woodland flowers. The Trust says it will be selective about which trees are removed and plant new chestnut, rowan and beech saplings in some areas to make sure a variety of species are left and the biodiversity of the woods is improved. The thinning work is expected to be finished in the new year, with the newly opened sunny glades set to turn green and leafy in the spring.
A £6 million expansion of Dudley Zoo is being lined up to include opening up historic wartime tunnels and a cavern for visitors. Dudley Zoo could grow by 1,250 square metres under new expansion plans. Tunnels running underneath the Castle Hill site and last used during the Second World War could be brought back into use as part of the plans to expand the attraction, creating up to 20 new jobs. Bosses say the plans could make the attraction more than a zoo, with visitors able to go underground and explore a 15-foot by 30-foot limestone cavern as they delve into the history of local mining. The zoo's iconic 1930s Tecton buildings could also be revamped with the cash, while a new education centre would be created and the entrance spruced up. Business chiefs at the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership have signalled that they are ready to put up half of the funds for the project, with work expected to get underway in 2020. Visitor numbers to the zoo have doubled over the past decade. The revamp will be the latest boost for Dudley, with the Black Country Living Museum also about to undergo a multi-million pound extension and the Midland Metro to be extended into the town. A stretch of land between the car park and the zoo has been earmarked for development, and an area of woodland on Castle Hill could also be used by the zoo. Visitor numbers have doubled over the past decade to around 300,000 a year, and Zoo Director Derek Grove said the growth had allowed bosses to invest. The zoo will put some money into the upgrade, while other funding streams, including the Heritage Lottery Fund, will be explored. Mr. Grove said, "We want to build a training and education centre. We probably get 20,000 children a year in, and we want to grow that. There's an area between the car park and zoo that we're looking at opening that up. There's also a cavern, and we want to take people down. We're planning to go into the history of the mines. That would make three attractions on the site. The Canal Trust has a wet mine, the museum has a coal mine, and we would have a limestone mine. It would be another asset. Four Tecton buildings also need to be repaired while improvements are needed at the Giraffe House," Mr. Grove said. "It'll make us more than a zoo."
Escaped Rottweiler has been saved from destruction after biting a neighbour. Tyson's owner, Julie Dent, aged 48, of Pearson Street, Stourbridge, was fined £250 at Dudley Magistrates Court on Tuesday. Dent, who admitted being in charge of a dog, dangerously out of control and causing injury, was also ordered to pay £150 compensation to Shabana Afors, who needed 3 stitches for the injury caused by the 8-year-old family pet. Mr. Roger Blizzard, prosecuting, said that about 9 p.m. on October the 5th, Mrs. Afors was outside her home in Pearson Street when she saw the brown and black Rottweiler was unattended. As she turned round to go inside, the dog jumped up behind her and knocked her to her knees. In her statement, Mrs. Afors said, "Julie came round and said it was not a bad bite, but my friend said it was deep. An ambulance was called and I was taken to Russell Hall Hospital." She said she was now seriously afraid of the dog and scared to go outside. Mr. Blizzard said the dog was seized by the police and was now in kennels, where it continued to be aggressive. Mr. Sarbit Singh Lali, defending, said that Dent, a mental health support worker, was of good character and the conviction might impact on her future employment. He said she wanted to have her pet back and was more than willing to follow any ruling. Deputy District Judge Liz Hart said, "This was an awful incident and I'm not surprised the neighbour is now frightened." She made a contingent destruction order on the 8-year-old dog. "Provided you as a dog owner or anyone in charge complies with the requirements, the sentence of destruction will not be carried out. At the first sign of something going wrong, then the order will be carried out. The dog will be seized by the police and at that stage destroyed," she warned Dent. "Whenever Tyson is outside, including in the garden, he must be on a lead and muzzled. The dog must also be microchipped and Dent must take out third-party insurance with a reputable pet insurer. Dent has 2 months to comply."
A 19-year-old medic who battled in vain to save the life of popular footballer Ryan Passy after he was stabbed at a Stourbridge nightclub has been awarded a top bravery award. Luke Adams, an off-duty student paramedic at the time, fought a desperate battle to try and save 24-year-old Ryan after he was stabbed in the former Chicago's night spot on August the 6th last year. Surrounded by clubbers, Luke fought in difficult circumstances to try and give Ryan from Quarry Bank a chance of survival. Tragically, self-employed window cleaner Ryan, who had played for Stourbridge's FC's youth team, died from a single stab wound. Luke, however, who is now a fully qualified West Midlands Ambulance Service paramedic, has been hailed a hero for his efforts to try and save Ryan, and he has been awarded a prestigious Royal Humane Society for actions on that night. Andrew Chapman, secretary of the Royal Humane Society, said, "Luke was a true hero. He fought with no thought for his own safety to save Ryan Pass's life in what had turned into a very dangerous environment. Sadly, despite his efforts, Ryan did not survive, but no one could have done more than Luke to give him the best possible chance of survival. It must have been a frightening ordeal. The nightclub was crowded with more than 700 people in it. The club lights were off with music playing, strobe lights and people still dancing as Luke, unaided, administered CPR in the midst of the dancers. Friends of the victim were upset and aggressive, but despite this, Luke persevered for 20 minutes until an ambulance arrived. And then he continued helping the paramedics who carried out emergency surgery on the dance floor. He did everything possible to save the victim. The Royal Humane Society Award was founded in 1774 and is the premier national body for honouring bravery in the saving of human life. Since then, it has made more than 200,000 awards.
Rovaniemi in northern Finland is usually renowned as a winter wonderland complete with reindeer and sleighs. The home of Santa Claus is without snow around a month before Christmas, leaving holidaymakers anxious and prompting travel operators to postpone trips. Families hoping for a picture-perfect visit to Lapland were left wondering if their holidays would be spoiled, as webcam images from the region showed barely any patches of white around a week before the winter season begins. Lapland, in northern Finland, is renowned as a winter wonderland, complete with reindeer, sleighs, glittering Christmas markets, blanketed in snow. Laura Hardy, aged 33, said she had spent more than £2,000 for an overnight sleigh bell sleepover with her two children in the Lapland capital, Rovaniemi. The nurse from Stoke-on-Trent, who's due to fly out on December the 3rd, told the Press Association, "It is stressing us out a little as we have paid so much money for one night away, which could have got us 2 weeks in the sun next year. With my daughter being nearly eight, it's possibly her last year of believing, and our son has had his adoption with us finalised this year, so it was meant to be special." Thomas Cook have said they will not postpone trips or provide any money off as other activities will be arranged. Someone has suggested biscuit decorating, which I don't think is a fair swap for a snowmobile and sleigh rides. We've spent hundreds on snow clothing too. There's little chance for snow in Rovaniemi in the next 10 days, except perhaps on Sunday, according to the Finnish Meteorological Institute, although temperatures will be below freezing. Tour operator Transun, which takes travellers around 250 kilometres north of the capital to a more remote area, said, "It has been unseasonably warm in Lapland recently, and there has been limited snowfall. We have therefore cancelled our first two departures of the winter and offered affected passengers alternative dates later in December at no additional cost. If the alternative dates were not suitable, we have offered a full refund." A Thomas Cook spokeswoman said, "Our trips to Lapland start later this month. We're continuing to watch the forecast and are working on contingency plans should they be required. We will update customers on any changes if necessary."
A Stourbridge woman who worked as a benefit fraud investigator has been warned she could be facing time behind bars after she fiddled nearly £19,000 from the system. Tracy Griffiths, a mother of three, has been described by her Inland Revenue co-workers and friends as highly reliable and motivated. But over a two-year period, the 36-year-old illegally pocketed a total of £18,863 by maintaining she and her husband Stuart were no longer a couple. Judge Peter Cook, told Griffiths of Newbury Road, Wordsley, said it was a serious offence and remanded her on bail until Monday, December the 17th, for the preparation of a pre-sentence report. He said he could give Griffiths no indication as to what sentence would be imposed, but he warned her the crime had exposed her to a risk of immediate custody. Griffiths had pleaded not guilty to fraudulently claiming tax credits, but she was convicted by a jury of 11-1 majority verdict. The six-man, six-woman panel had retired to consider the evidence for just over 4 hours at the end of a trial at Wolverhampton Crown Court. Paul Myton, prosecuting, said Griffiths had been well regarded in the investigation of benefit fraud. It was unlikely she would have been suspected of making a false claim. It was an ideal cover. He told the jury as he described Griffiths as an intelligent woman who knew the system well. He said Griffiths had not been entitled to the money she fiddled. She was not entitled to it because she was not single. Griffiths had alleged she had separated from her husband and she had made the application for tax credit while the couple were still living together in Barnet Close in King Swynford. But the prosecution said they enjoyed family holidays and the pair put a post on social media celebrating their first wedding anniversary. Luke Point, defending, said Griffith's domestic life had been messy and complicated, but he stressed that she had not acted fraudulently. A woman of previous good character, she had been entitled to make the claim and she had opened herself up to a full scrutiny. Griffiths is now expected to be sentenced at Warwick Crown Court, where the judge normally dispenses justice.
Evening and overnight parking charges in Dudley Council-run car parks are set to be scrapped in a bid to boost nighttime businesses. Dudley Council will extend its free parking scheme across all pay and display car parks from January the 2nd. People visiting town centres, whether for a function event or to eat out, will now be able to park with no charge between 7pm to 7am. Council Cabinet Member Khurshid Ahmed said, "We want to do all we can to support businesses in our town centres, whether their core hours are during the day or evening. It therefore seems only right that we now go that extra mile to extend our free parking to also support our evening traders, who are crucial in helping us create a successful and thriving nighttime economy across all our town centres. The free parking can also be used overnight by residents living nearby to reduce the amount of on-street car parking in busy areas. It follows the introduction of 2 hours free parking on council-run car parks between 7am and 7pm earlier this year. And this new initiative will run alongside the existing arrangements. A Freedom of Information request revealed that earnings from parking for the council plunged from around £1.27 million to £725,000 in the space of a year. Figures showed that the local authority made £725,974 from parking charges in 2017 to 18. The total was down from £1,276,765 the previous year and £1,329,990 in 2015-16. With that final news from myself, we'll make a way for today's notices. So it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from Brian.
And goodbye from Margaret.